But Bruce Jenkins of the Chronicle joins us on this gorgeous Sunday in Arizona. Bruce, how are you today?
I'm not down there. Sounds like a good day for a game.
Yeah, the weather sort of turned around. Yesterday, again, was kind of weird, but today here in Maryville, and you've been out here with us before, nice blue sky, and it's one of those ballparks. Bruce, how would you describe Maryville? It's kind of different. No real overhang. You're in the sun, and it's kind of an interesting, just an open park for me.
Yeah, it's typical of they're all sort of outposts once you get past Scottsdale. You know, Scottsdale's this idyllic setting, and everything's right there, and there's the hotels and restaurants, and you get out to Glendale and Maryville and Surprise, and you're driving forever, and there's nothing there, and all of a sudden you come up on a little ballpark, and you got a big league game there. And it's not the kind of place you'd like to frequent too often, but it's got its own little character to it, so that's something you always appreciate.
Yeah, it reminds me of spring training parks of maybe 30, 40 years ago.
Yeah.
Before the Salt River Fields and Glendale came together and what they did in Goodyear. It's just sort of a little ballpark, one deck, you know, obviously, and no shade. I mean, there's you're just sitting out here, but
yeah.
It's actually very, I don't know, there's something about a calmness to it.
Yeah, I don't know if you'd want to play too many games there in August.
No.
But yeah, I know what you mean. Years ago, when I was on the beat for the Chronicle, I made some trips to Florida, and you're going to all these little parks in Clearwater, Sarasota, Winter Haven. And it was really charming, and each one of them was kind of distinctive in that way. And that's the case in Arizona for sure.
Yeah, what you could do, and I enjoyed growing up in South Florida, and I remember going to Pompano Beach when the Rangers trained in Pompano Beach. And I think I sat in the bullpen with Gaylord Perry. I mean, I think I was actually just sitting in there with him. And you could move around, and, the players walked and you walked, and there was no, like, heavy security.
Yeah, and then the old Dodger Town, which is probably the most charming of them all, really just a little paradise in itself. Between the clubhouse and the field, the players would walk there. It's a short walk, and the fans are just mingling there. And you could talk to them on your way over. You could get in stride with them and exchange a few comments. You know, and it all seemed very friendly and idyllic.
You know, Bill Rigney, when he managed the Angels in Palm Springs, he had them ride bikes. Remember this? from the hotel. I don't know if you remember the pictures. They would ride bikes from the hotel to the ballpark in Palm Springs. How about that?
Jeez. Yeah, I remember that Palm Springs Park. Once again, another little gem, for fans to drop in and see games. And one thing I remember, too, about those days is that usually the parks were not sold out. If you had it in mind all of a sudden, geez, I think I'm going to take in a game, you could do that almost anywhere, including Dodger Town. And in recent years, it got to be so popular that that's not necessarily the case. But
well, I'll tell you one thing. Growing up in Brooklyn, I would have given anything to go to Dodger Town. I mean, that was when, you could go to Dodger Town and in the summer where the Dodgers trained. And, being a Brooklyn kid and 8 or 9 or 10 years old, it was like you were going to heaven.
Yeah, I felt the same way because when the Dodgers moved west, I was living in Southern California, a little kid, and it changed my whole life. And when I did go to Dodger Town, one of the first people I saw was Sandy Koufax. I just sort of stopped in my tracks like, oh, my God, this is around 1980, I think. But all a lot of the older players would tend to show up there at some point or another because the tradition of the team was so great, and Vince Scully would be around. But the games, I remember almost all the games were on radio even back then, so good stuff.
Well, it's big business now, especially at the ballparks, and that's sort of what we're talking about now. And one last thought about Vero Beach, and it's the first spring training park I ever went to. And it was, I think, the Dodgers, and I went up there. I didn't even look at the schedule. We drove up from Miami, and I thought there'd be a game. Well, the Dodgers were playing, the Dodger rookies were playing, like, the Washington Senators or something. That was like my first game. And I remember there was no fence in the outfield. It just had a berm and then a little elevated, hill out there. And that was it.
Yeah,
and that's another place.
It's
another place I sat down in the dugout, in the bullpen, talking to Gene Harris or I forgot his name, Gene Snyder, and John Roseboro.
Yeah, the whole thing was incredibly informal. I mean, it was so first class, but you know, the Dodgers, as I recall, they didn't really have a dugout. They were just sort of sitting
That's
out
right.
in the open air.
That's exactly right.
And very, very cool.
Yeah, very. Now, it wasn't John Rutledge. It was Junior Gilliam, and he wouldn't give me an autograph. You don't forget those things. All right. Well, that's what Maryville brings me back to that. It just is one of those parks that looks like something I saw before in somewhere in my life. Hey, what a day yesterday for the WBC and the brawl and the Vogelsong last night, and it sets up today. Hey, what's your thought on it?
Well, I mean, it's funny because the brawl sort of brought a lot of attention to the tournament, which it sort of welcomes. I mean, not but necessarily in that form, but I think it did let a lot of people know that a lot of teams aren't kidding around when they play this thing. There's a lot on the line, and they care like heck about it. But you know, the execution of the brawl, I mean, it was ridiculous. It's seems like it's coming down to Luis Cruz, the Mexico's third baseman,
right,
who's the Dodgers' third baseman as well. And could even be their shortstop if Hanley Ramirez doesn't cut it there. But he's pretty much the guy who, after the bunt single with a six-run lead, said we got to drill this guy. And I mean, that's, first of all, the rules of the tournament suggest that you can't score enough runs. So that alone made his stance kind of ridiculous and inappropriate. But you know what, Marty? Even without that, I mean, a six-run lead just isn't that big in a ballpark that isn't terribly spacious. With, you know, Arizona's a pretty good hitter's park. A six-run lead is the game's not over. If you see the third baseman playing back, you get a bunt single. I mean, you know, that's, you can do that. To me, that's not a sacrilege. Now, maybe stealing second with a 10-run lead, that's a different story. But the whole thing was just wild. I mean, I hadn't seen the whole game. I watched it later on tape, but I was wondering, there had to be something going on prior to that, and then I found out later that the guy who dropped the bunt single had slid pretty aggressively, maybe over aggressively, into the second base a couple times. So they were looking at him pretty hard, and there'd been a collision at the plate. So I'm sure there'd been a lot of jawing back and forth, and sometimes it doesn't take much to get something started. But
no.
But basically, it was not a great moment for the tournament. It was all very interesting, and you know, it got him a lot of attention. But I thought, you know, from a baseball standpoint, Vogelsong buckling down after a couple of rough innings was great. Affeld, of course, once again, and then the David Wright home run, that was so big for the U.S. cause, and you know, the commissioner and everybody who's trying to get the U.S. to maybe win this thing and draw more attention. That was the biggest thing that happened, I think.
Yeah, good job by Vogelsong. I think I talked with Larry Kruger earlier today. I said, well, you know, the guy was a star in the playoffs for the
mm-hmm.
Giants last year. Just an absolute star. He looked like Dave Stewart with that look on the mound.
Yeah.
And here he is, you know, pitches another big game. And, you know, it's a game that the United States, even if they lost and beat Canada today, then you got to get into the run differential and all that.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a game you want to win. You want to start winning. Winning is very important. You don't want to win by run differential. And he stepped up and did his job once again.
Yeah, absolutely. I think when he took the mound, I mean, part of him probably was in that normal spring training mode where, you know, it's March, for heaven's sake, and I'm going to work on a few things. And within a couple innings, it was September. You know, I mean, he really wanted that game bad, and it was great. I mean, to see him, the determination, and you know, keeping the ball down, keeping guys off balance, everything that he does. His whole presence out there is really strong, and there he was, you know, pitching a very meaningful game in the middle of March.
Yeah, so it looks like, well, we'll see. You know, you think the United States has the advantage they overcame. You would think that, but, you know, these games have not played out that way.
Well, every time you think there's a trend, I mean,
yeah.
In the game overnight, you know, the Netherlands had been very, very impressive. And they got absolutely obliterated by Japan. Japan hit six homers after hitting none leading up to that. Venezuela goes out very quietly, and it's incredibly unpredictable. I wouldn't want to say, you know, put a prediction on today's game, the U.S.-Canada game, because Canada, they've got some sticks. They've got some good hitters, and they obviously care like heck about the tournament. So we'll see.
Now, will you go to the games in San Francisco?
Oh, yeah. I'm really looking forward to that, yeah.
Oh, terrific. Yeah, that's that. You know, it's funny that now the group in that's here will go to Miami.
Uh-huh.
And they'll start playing Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and then they got to play. There's no days off.
Yeah, that's a little bit unfortunate. That really shouldn't happen, especially when you're looking at a cross-country trip and your next game is the semifinals.
Really?
You know, for two of the teams, I mean, that's a little bit awkward. That's what happens when you try to squeeze a major tournament into spring training. And it's, you know, there'll be some griping, and who knows what the consequences will be, but there's likely to be a few unpleasant developments that could be avoided with a better time frame.
Well, that's why they're saving Gio Gonzalez, I guess, for the Tuesday game. But, you know,
you
got to win today, and Derek Holland, who knows? They're both lefties, and Canada apparently has a lot of lefties in the lineup, so.
Yeah, the last time around Venezuela, Luis Soho, the manager, saved Felix Hernandez for, I think, a game against the U.S., and meanwhile he didn't win the game at hand, and they got blown out of there. So I don't know if he's going to be the manager next time around after this showing. But
no, there was something there was something on Twitter today that the headlines, when you say manager should be fired, then you got to be careful in Venezuela.
My God.
He could disappear down there.
Yeah, it's going to be gunfire.
Well, you know, it's funny. Philippe Alou told me this. You know, Philippe, of course, a great Giant in the 50s and managed the Giants and managed the Expos. He said he played on the national team for the Dominican Republic in the 50s, and it was a big deal. And they came back from a tournament in Mexico, and maybe they won or lost. I forget what it was. But he said the generals were at the airport waiting for him.
No, my goodness.
And this is Trujillo, and if you know your history of the Dominican Republic, you know, it's kind of wild down there, the junta and all that stuff.
Yeah.
But it gets very serious in some countries for if they don't win.
Yeah, I mean, the most extreme, moving into the realm of soccer, which is, you know, in Colombia, the goalkeeper who let a big goal go by was not alive. within a couple of months. So, I mean,
thing looked like a soccer brawl yesterday, and the umpires just got out of the way. The umpires moved back. They did not get in the middle of it. It was interesting.
They sensed there was an awful lot of heat there.
Yeah.
And, you know, it doesn't bother me so much that there are no suspensions. I think, if anything, Cruz is the guiltiest party, but, I mean, I'm glad that Canada's at full strength for the U.S. I mean, these things happen. You don't need to overreact.
Yeah, good, good. Well, they'll take care of it on the field, as they say.
Yeah.
So let's see what happens. Hey, Bruce, I appreciate it. Look forward to chatting with you. Have a good Sunday. And, next weekend you'll be getting ready for the semifinals in San Francisco. We'll have a lot to talk about.
Yeah, good. I look forward to it, Marty. Enjoy the day.
Yeah, you too. Thank you. The great Bruce Jenkins of the San Francisco Chronicle.